Step into 2026 with a home you can call your own. With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new place for just £26 before the 26th of January. Shared ownership offers a more affordable route onto the property ladder, making your dream of owning your own home a reality. Begin your next chapter today at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
Today, you'll learn how caffeine affects people differently, why your friends feel focused while you feel tired or fried, plus the key differences for men versus women, and what expectant parents should know about the fetal exposure. Stay tuned to the end so you'll learn five actions that you can use this week. And if this helps you, I want you to go to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi on Apple and Spotify and subscribe to YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor. Drop a five-star review so more people can find it. Now, my guest today is a very special guest. His name is Steve Fraser, and he is the creator of Release the Coffee Cuffs, helping people reset their relationship with caffeine. Steve, I am so excited to have you on the show today. This is going to be a really exciting episode, and I just love what you have done with, you know, your life and what you have done now to help others. Now, you know, can you tell everybody a little about yourself?
Sure. And thank you for that very gracious introduction. I started out 40 years ago as an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for the last 40 years. So the first 23 years, my wife and I were in the restaurant business, and we had six different restaurants over that 23 years. And I lived on caffeine. And when I talk about that, I'm talking, this is before the coffee shops weren't big. I would go to the gas station. I'd buy two 20-ounce cappuccinos. So I had one in each hand. So you can imagine the buzz that I got from the caffeine and the sugar. Okay. It scares me that I'm amazed I'm still alive. But so I did this then for another 7 years until maybe about 11 years ago, I had a health scare. Mm-hmm. And I had heart. I thought I was having a heart attack, and I went to the emergency room. My wife took me, they put me on an EKG machine. And I had premature ventricular contractions, which everybody has. I happen to be very susceptible to them. So the doctor comes in. The first thing he says, you're going to be fine. You're not dying. That's a big relief. Yeah. I said, so what happened? He said, well, you had these PVCs. And he said, everybody gets them. You're just susceptible. I said, so what causes this? Mm-hmm. He said, well, stress. Okay. And then he paused. And then he smirked a little bit. And he said, and caffeine. Oh, man, talk about a stake in the heart, right? Because that morning I was traveling. I mainlined coffee. I was ready to do demos for a product. I was going to do energy drinks. So I realized that I needed to quit. So I quit. And that was, again, 11 years ago. So after about 2 or 3 years, and I didn't drink any caffeine, and I thought, I'm one person that's going to be able to control this because I'm Steve Fraser and I've got this, right? Okay. That's every addict's famous last words. Okay. Because 6 years later, I'm drinking tons of caffeine again. So about 2 years ago, I realized that caffeine was consuming me, was consuming my life. I needed it to wake up in the morning. I needed sleep aids or alcohol to go to sleep at night. Because it was my circadian rhythm was just flipped. It's so out of whack. So I quit cold turkey. And I don't recommend that because it was painful. The adenosine headaches are terrible. And the brain fog and the fatigue. And I had it for three. I lost 3 days of my life. Mm-hmm. And in the stories, and I have a book. And the first chapter of my book is called Anecdotal Stories. And originally it was supposed to be the last chapter. As I put it together, I realized that this was possibly the best chapter in the whole book, because if you read it, you will find yourself in there. Yeah. It's amazing. And every one of the people and these are all about people that quit caffeine. So that's what it is. Every one of them said the main benefit, and it was a tremendous benefit, was how good they slept.
Yeah.
And sleep is the foundation of our health.
Yes.
Because when we sleep well, we heal. And
Mm-hmm.
when we don't sleep well, we don't heal. Now, you
Exactly.
know, and particularly for men, when they sleep in stage three sleep, they produce testosterone.
Yes.
And if you don't produce testosterone, you don't have a libido, you have fractured sperm, your sperm don't move. So if you're trying to conceive, that can make it harder, you know, and we may get into that later. But the point is that sleep is so important. And here's something, and as I talk about this for a while here, realize that when I talk about all this, there's always exceptions. So
Yeah.
when you say, you know, and I was on a podcast a couple months ago, and the host, out of 50 podcasts, the only guy that ever wanted to argue with me, he said, well, I drink a Diet Coke at 11 o'clock at night, and I go right to sleep. And I will tell you right now, everybody that drinks caffeine goes to sleep. Okay, they are not up all night, guaranteed. And many of them go to sleep right away. Now, some of them have a hard time going to sleep because their circadian rhythm's messed up.
Yep.
However, their sleep cycle is disturbed.
Yeah.
Because your stage three and your stage four sleep, stage three is where you heal. Stage four is where your dream and your subconscious is repairing things in your brain. They're delayed and they're shortened.
Yeah.
And what very few people know is that you have 4 to 6 sleep cycles every night. So you just don't go stage 1, 2, 3, 4 and you wake up. You go 1, 2, 3, 4 and then you repeat 4 to 6 times. So what happens when your stage 3 and stage 4 are delayed and shortened? You're tired when you get up.
Yeah.
And what's the natural reaction? Grab a coffee, grab a tea, grab a soda, grab an energy drink. And 80 to 90% of the people in the United States are doing this. And I'm not judging you because I did this.
Yeah.
And this is not about shaming. This is about understanding what caffeine is actually doing to your body and doing to your health. And this is a very well-kept secret. Like I said, just in the United States, 200 to 300 million people drink caffeine every day. Worldwide, caffeine is a $1 trillion business.
Yeah.
And so there is a lot there for certain companies and individuals to learn, to make money from, to make sure that you don't know what it's doing to you.
Exactly.
Because ironically, I drink coffee every day. I drink organic Swiss water processed decaf. It takes 99.9% of the caffeine out with water, not with chemicals. It's
Right.
organic, so there's no pesticides and herbicides. And I put all kinds of good stuff in there that I like, because I don't really care for the taste of coffee, but it's a comfort thing. Everybody likes a warm cup of coffee or a warm cup of something in the morning.
Right.
So what do most people do when they wake up? The first thing they do is have a cup of coffee, and that is literally probably the worst thing you can do. So if you're listening to this, I have a piece of advice for you, and it's free. When you wake up in the morning, look at the sun, and then drink a 20 to 24 ounce glass of lemon water. What does it do? It rehydrates your cells, because caffeine is a diuretic. So if you get up and the first thing you do is drink caffeine, you got to go to the bathroom. Now, you don't just, when you go and pee, you don't just pee water. You'd pee a lot of good minerals. And if you aren't supplementing them, you're going to be deficit, particularly magnesium and calcium, and particularly for women, and particularly for women that are post-menopause. You know, they get osteoporosis, can't figure out why their bones are going to pot, right? Well, you don't have any calcium in there. You don't have the magnesium. You don't have the nutrients that you need. So the least I can advise you is take some supplements, right? I'm not giving you medical advice. You can get this from any naturopath, any natural practitioner, and they'll help you and they'll help dose you. One thing that's sold, you know, over the counter is magnesium glycinate. And a lot of people take that at night to help them sleep. And it does. It works.
Yeah.
because it's a supplement that helps you to sleep at night. Whether you're on caffeine or not, it doesn't matter. But
Yeah.
it's a good thing for you.
A lot of people, wonder why some people can stay calm and focused when they're on caffeine, and then why others get jitters. Do you happen to know why?
Sure. Because we all process it differently. And that has to do with something, an enzyme in our livers. It's called the CYP1A2. And there'll be no test on that. Okay. But it processes 95% of the caffeine out of your body through your liver. And different people, and some of this is genetics. Everybody says, every tries to blame everything on genetics. Some of this is genetics, okay, but not most of it, okay. But it also is how our bodies are responding to that, and other things that we're taking in, and particularly for women. And this was where you mentioned the difference between men and women. I was at a retreat 2 months ago with 17 women in a house for 5 days. Had the time of my life. And I'm sitting at breakfast with three girls. One of them I had never met before. And we're just chatting. And I had taken my books, and we gave, and my part of this retreat was self-sabotage. And my wife does emotional clearing, and my daughter does mindset work. And so we're sitting at the breakfast table, and I looked at them and I said, I may know more about your menstrual cycle than you do. Wow. This one girl, her jaw just dropped, A guy, this old guy, and I'm not old, but to her I am. She said, and she's thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And so, because here it is, in the menstrual cycle, you process caffeine differently. And in the luteal phase, which is the 14 to 28 days right before you have your period, you process caffeine 70% slower. So the half-life goes from 5 to 8, from 5 to 8 hours to 8 to 12 hours, or more, maybe even more. Now just think of that woman. It's in that phase of her menstrual cycle, and she has a cup of coffee at noon. And it's got, and most coffees generally are 150 milligrams. At 10 o'clock at night, when she is probably going to try to go to sleep, 75 milligrams are still active in her system. Now, this is assuming that she hasn't had any caffeine after that. And let's face it, most people have that afternoon crash, and you either take a nap or you drink more caffeine because you're out of gas. You run out of gas. And that's because of that cycle. Because when you drink caffeine, three things happen. So when I drink caffeine, every time I drink it, now I don't control the caffeine molecule after it goes in my body. This is nature. So whatever anybody says, these things are happening. Again, it affects everybody differently. But so the first thing it does is it shuts down, it plugs my adenosine receptors. Now, adenosine is what puts you to sleep at night naturally. And the caffeine molecule is very similar to the adenosine molecule. And so what it does is it sneaks in there and it makes you very alert. And that's what people like. I mean, anybody that's had caffeine, and obviously almost everyone has, you get a buzz. And this is it, because your adenosine, you're not getting tired. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing is when it hits your adrenal glands. And this is a big deal, because two different things happen. The biggest one is it releases adrenaline, and it puts you into a sympathetic mode in your central nervous system. You have a sympathetic, that's fight or flight, and you have parasympathetic, and that's rest and digest. So when you go into sympathetic mode, and it's not, it seems kind of backwards, but it's not. But that's just the way it is. That's what they've called it, and that's what we got to work with, right? So when you go into fight or flight, There's a reason why your body does this, because it thinks that you are running away from a bear or a lion or an attacker or a mugger or whatever. You've heard the stories. You've heard stories of women lifting cars off of little kids, whatever. That's the adrenaline, and it's real. Now, I'm not saying everybody can lift a car, but so one of the things that happens when your adrenaline goes up is your blood pressure goes up. So if you're in sympathetic mode all the time, your blood pressure goes up all the time, and then your parasympathetic mode, which kicks in at night, never reaches that lower level where it's supposed to be, so your blood pressure stays high. Okay, so if you know somebody that has high blood pressure that is drinking caffeine regularly, that could be the cause. I'm not telling you it's the cause, but it could be the cause, right? So the next thing it does is it shoots glucose into your muscles because you need energy, because you need to fight or flight. And if you're sitting at your kitchen table, or if you're sitting at your desk or your cubicle, or at the coffee shop at a table, you're not fighting or flighting. You're relaxing. So what happens when the glucose goes into your a trick question? I'll ask you if you know. What happens when your body is infused with glucose?
That's infused with glucose. Is that when your body starts to tend to relax?
No, your blood sugar is going to go up. Okay, your blood sugar is
That
going to
makes
go
sense.
up because
Glucose.
you're not burning it. Because this is, and I'm sorry, I've kind of put you on the spot there, but
No, you're right.
but so what happens is that when you're because your blood sugar is going up because your body says, I need more energy in my muscles, right? But you're not using it. So your blood sugar, because it's just sitting there. And so your blood sugar goes up. So naturally, your pancreas says, whoa, man, the blood sugar just went up. So I got to shoot some insulin in. If you know anybody that's having blood sugar issues, this could be the reason. Simply because if you're regularly spiking your blood sugar and then your insulin is reacting, at some point your pancreas is going to rebel and say, oh, I'm tired. I'm not going to shoot quite as much insulin as because you're abusing me badly, dramatically. And so what happens is you all of a sudden you're a type 2 diabetic. So if you know anybody that's having some blood sugar issues and they're drinking copious amounts of caffeine, this could be the answer. Now, there's some dietary stuff there too, okay? So don't misunderstand me, but there is something there. Now, the third thing that would happen to me is my cortisol would go up. Now, in our natural circadian rhythm, when we wake up in the morning, and what I do when I wake up, I go to my east window and I look at the sun. Now, it's dark when I get up now, so I have a sun lamp. And what that does is that helps my body create that cortisol rush. Cortisol is a stress hormone, but it is natural in the morning for you to have energy to go throughout your day. Right? You need this. If you throw caffeine in there right away, what happens is that you are now throwing extra cortisol, and your body says, whoa, what's going on here? I already have cortisol going in because it's morning. Now I have a whole bunch of extra cortisol. And if you do it more than one time in the morning, now your circadian rhythm is not normal because your normal circadian rhythm is your cortisol goes down during the day and your melatonin and your adenosine goes up. So that at 10 o'clock at night, and I just use 10 o'clock is an arbitrary number, but you understand. Your adenosine then puts you to sleep at night. But if your cortisol is still cooking, your adenosine receptors are plugged. Remember that the caffeine molecule is plugging them up. It doesn't put you to sleep. You ultimately get too tired and you just go to sleep, right? Because you have to. But that's called that wired and tired effect. And there's something called a cortisol belly. And people. And this is real. It's been there's studies in the book that I wrote, The 14 chapters in the middle, I have over 300 references and sites. So when I'm talking to you about this, I'm just not making it up. Okay. I'm just not talking off the cuff. I've done the research. These are all studies and peer-reviewed studies that show that this is what happens. And so, and when you have excess cortisol in your body, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, it will accumulate around your belly. So you can eat right, you can exercise 5 times a week. And it happens predominantly in women, but also in men. And if you have this, this could be the reason. I actually know a lady who 10 years ago had this. And I believe now in hindsight that this could have been the reason. Because no doctor could find a reason, because doctors are just like everybody else. They have the same cognitive dissonance that you and I do, because many of them, or most of them, drink coffee or caffeine because they have really hard jobs. They think that it's good for them. They think it keeps them sharp and alert. They probably are working 12 or 16 hours a day sometimes, especially if they're in a ER. When someone comes in and has a symptom of chronic caffeine use, if they don't have that, they don't ever think to think that it could be caffeine, because it's not happening to me. Because cognitive dissonance, and that's when you're presented with an objective truth that goes against your programmed beliefs. And we all have it. We all have it. And in self-sabotage, this is one of the biggest things. You know, you just, you have these, we're all programmed to believe certain things. And I noticed on one of your podcasts, you had a gentleman on who talked about reprogramming your subconscious. And I didn't recognize his name. I know a guy on YouTube, his name is Bruce Lipton, and he does a lot of work with reprogramming your subconscious. And you can do it. Because your subconscious is created in the first 7 years of your life. Because that's when you're in a called the theta brainwave state. Everything you see and hear stays in. And then once you get past seven, less and less stays in. And so your belief. So if you, I start one of my presentations out with a 28-second commercial called Waking Up to Folgers in Your Cup. Have you ever seen this? It's a classic, because it's got moms brewing the coffee. If you look at it, you can smell it. Okay. You can literally smell it. She takes two mugs into the bedroom. Dad's sitting in between two beds. There's two little boys in there, and she hands him a mug and he smells it. He takes a sip. They both are, I mean, the endorphins, the dopamine rush here is phenomenal. Then the two little boys get out of bed and they got their teddy bears and they go over dad. They hover over dad's shoulders and they have a big group hug and everybody's happy. Now you realize if those little boys, and I know this is a commercial, but in real life, this happens. Little kids are watching mom and dad drink coffee every morning. And what do? They associate that with successful parenting, with happiness, with adulting. And so I should drink coffee. I mean, when they can read, they can see mom's mug. Don't talk to me before I drink this. Don't talk to me before 9 a.m., right? I mean, you've seen the mugs. I mean, and some of them are extremely funny and extremely catchy, right? I mean, I'll give them credit. They're catchy. Okay. And they crack me up because they're the truth. You don't want to talk to that man or woman before they've had their coffee, because they are crabby. Because you know what? Because they're in detox. They're withdrawing. They're in withdrawal. And so these poor kids are being programmed from birth that coffee is the key to success and happiness and good parenting. And we see that now in teenagers. I mean, how many teenagers drink energy drinks? Phenomenal. How many teenagers, as soon as they get their driver's license, they're in the Starbucks line or whatever coffee shop, Dunkin'. You know, I mean, there's tens of thousands of these. I live in a small community in northern Wisconsin. It's small. The whole metro area is 85,000 people. Within 1 mile of my house, and I'm in a residential district, within 1 mile of a house, I've got three Starbucks and three other coffee shops within 1 mile. And they're all still in business. And it appears to me they're doing quite well. So this is what I'm up against. I used an analogy on a different podcast, and I'll share it with you because it stayed with me, and it will stay with me all my life. I told this guy, I said, I feel sometimes like the salmon swimming upstream. And we've all seen this. You know, the minute I say that to you, you visualize those salmon, and they're viciously swimming against that current, and sometimes they're jumping over the waterfalls. And he said, "Hold on, Steve." And he started chuckling. And he said, "No, Steve, you're not the salmon swimming upstream. You are the salmon swimming against the tsunami." And I thought, I need to share this. I said, "Can I share that?" He said, "Absolutely." Because it is. I'm battling something that nobody wants to hear about. You know, and if you know somebody that has these issues with their blood pressure, with their blood sugar, with their insomnia, or if they're tired first thing in the morning. You know, women are affected. Women have a lot more hormones than men. That's just the way it is. And it messes with women's hormones. Okay. So, normally, a normal average woman that doesn't drink caffeine has a higher level of anxiety than a man. Now you throw caffeine on there. And now she is going to be more nervous. She's going to be more anxious and more jittery, and she doesn't understand why. And then again, if she does this at certain periods of her cycle, it's like a double whammy. And so now you fast forward to, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, what it does to men. It can raise their blood pressure. I have a good friend my age. He was 6 months ago, he was on no meds. I'm on no meds. And all of a sudden, his doctor said, "Your blood pressure is getting a little high. So we want to put you on blood pressure medication." Okay, because he's listening to his doctor. Now, I see a LPN who, when I see her, all we do is talk for an hour and we discuss my health. She never tells me what I have to do. We discuss it. But so he goes on this blood pressure medicine and he feels terrible. I mean, he has big side effects. So he calls up the doctor. Doctor says, "Okay, we'll switch it out." So he gives him two different ones. So now he only feels half as crappy. Okay. So he's telling me this about 3 months ago. And I said to him, I said, "You do realize, Kurt, that we can deal with this. I can help you. My daughter's a natural health practitioner." I said, "But you know, he gets up, he drinks coffee, he drinks Cokes, and then he has a Red Bull every afternoon." I said, "There's why your blood pressure's up." But and he looked at me, and he's still my friend. So we're good enough friends that he can take this because some people can't take this. He said, "You know, I like my life just the way it is, so I will tolerate the side effects of my medication." And he hurt his knee about a year ago, so he stopped exercising like he used to. I saw him last week. In the last year, he has gained, and actually in the last 6 months, he has gained 30 to 50 pounds. Now, they don't put that on the side effects of that medication. He's huge. I mean, he's 6'2", and now he has a belly that if he was a woman, you would think that he was pregnant. But what in our society, we would rather take a pill than suck it up. And as you know, and I'm sure you've addressed this with a number of your guests, and I'm just going to reinforce it. It is hard to be healthy. It's hard work. You know, I'm as healthy as I am for one reason. That's because my wife got sick 13 years ago and we went down the natural health rabbit hole. I went on a grain-free diet with her because she became celiac and grain intolerant, which is a bad combination because you got no corn, no rice, none of this. We don't eat this stuff. I lost 30 pounds in 3 months. by not eating grains. Now, it has something to do with gluten, but a lot of it has to do with glyphosate and some of the other herbicides and pesticides they're putting on this on the crops. You know, now we try to eat as much organic as we can. And people say, well, I can't afford organic. Well, if you have a deductible, you can afford organic. Because if you're the math is real. If you're paying deductibles to your doctor, if you're paying deductibles for your meds, and you become healthy, you're no longer paying those deductibles. That money is in your pocket. And so you not only feel better, but you're making money because your organic food isn't that outrageously expensive compared to regular food. That whole deductible is being spent on the organic food. And even if it is, your health is priceless. You know, people say, there's no price you can put. My wife was almost dead when my daughter caught the Lyme disease that she had. We pay $20,000 to $25,000 a year out of pocket for natural supplements. Nobody's going to cover it. My wife is here today because of that. It's the best $25,000 we ever spent. Okay. Because there's no price on your health. Because people that are healthy, they just take this for granted. When you start to talk to people, I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago with a quadriplegic. What they did is they managed to get one of his arms so he could actually function with me in the podcast. And here's a guy, he's 48 years old. He had a diving accident when he was 19, broke some vertebrae, quadriplegic since then. He now wants to spread the message to people that one, you can do anything if you had the desire. Realize there's no reason in the world why he should do a podcast. I mean, we had a technical difficulty. His caregiver had to come in and take care of some of the things because he obviously couldn't do it because he only can use one of his arms. But the point was, and we talked about antibiotics because he's becoming antibiotic resistant. And we talked about natural antibiotics. We talked about oregano and there's some other ones. And there's some there that he's going to use as he weans off of his prescribed ones. Now he needs these to survive. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that he shouldn't be on them. But he has a will to live. And he will do anything now to make his life better and to make your life and my life better. Now that's heartwarming.
It is.
Now, one of the things that I really like to talk about, and my wife, this is her saying, it's a Brendaism. It's we all have free will and free won't. You know, people hear about the free will thing, but they rarely hear about the free won't thing. Now, you and I as adults, we put in our bodies what we want. But there's one person that does not have that luxury. And that's this person right here. And that is the fetus. And the fetus is completely dependent on mom. Caffeine crosses all the barriers, placental barrier, the blood-brain barrier. But there's something that nobody ever talks about. And as remember, I mentioned the CYP1A2 gene, the one we're not going to have the enzyme, the one we're not going to have a quiz on. The babies, but you will probably remember it because it's crucial because babies don't develop this until they're 3 to 6 months old out of the womb. So when caffeine goes into a baby's system, one of the first things it does, it plugs the adenosine receptors, which now will lead to some developmental issues. But then the rest of the caffeine will be stored in the fatty blood cells. And if a woman, and if you know somebody that's pregnant, please share this with them. Because a pregnant woman, like we'll clear caffeine, you and I would clear caffeine in probably 8 to 16 hours. A baby, if mom stops drinking caffeine, it takes 100 hours to clear the caffeine out of their system because they have to clear it out through blood flow. They don't, because there's no enzyme there. There's nothing in their liver. So what happens while mom is drinking caffeine? And this is what happens. And these are all documented studies. And when I say this, remember that every pregnant mom that drinks caffeine, this isn't going to happen to her. But it doesn't matter because it's only you. If it's your baby that this happens to, it's really important. Okay. First of all, you can have low birth weight. Second of all, you can have miscarriages. I have two miscarriages in my immediate family. I have two grandchildren that I don't have because, and I'm not saying it was because of the caffeine, but you realize that I've experienced this. I have a miscarriage, and my niece had a miscarriage when her fetus was 7 months old. She had an open casket funeral. And if that doesn't rip your heart out, you don't have a heart. And I don't say this to cause you pain and suffering. I'm say this because just think if you and I and your listeners can share this information with one pregnant mom, and because she heard us, she stopped drinking caffeine and then had a healthy baby. Just think of that. I mean, that is very, very powerful, right? And I'm not, and again, I pregnant women have healthy that drink caffeine have healthy babies every day. But enough studies have been done that caffeine has been linked to these things. Plus, then you have ADHD, ADD, ADHD, you've got other developmental issues after they're born. Because of that, those adenosine receptors are actually communicating in your brain, in the baby's brain. And so the message here that I have is not of anti-anything. It's a message of hope and love for someone you know. Because we have the ability, and that's my mission here. My mission, my big mission is to spread this knowledge to as many people that I can get to listen to it. Cognitive dissonance, be damned, right? I don't care. If you don't want to hear it, you can always walk away or turn it off. But maybe somebody will listen. Maybe somebody that you know has one of these symptoms. And there's a lot more symptoms. So I hit the high points here. And I think, you know, my book is 400 pages. So as you can imagine, there's a lot more. There's a lot more in there. But the high points are the knowledge, the pro health, and then let's try to influence anybody you know that's pregnant, and if they're drinking caffeine, to at least share these facts. Because I truly believe that most people don't know that caffeine is bad for them. There's a major influencer on the internet. He sells coffee, and he's a millionaire, multimillionaire. And he did a reel a couple of weeks ago, and my wife sent it to me. In the reel, he said, if you drink 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day, you're going to live longer and you're going to be healthier. And I thanked her and I said, man, I went into the rabbit hole. So the first one, he was just kind of outright lying. But I found two analysis, big ones, one 500,000 people, one 1 million people. Mega analysis. What they did is they did find that you live a little longer drinking 3 to 5 cups of coffee and you are a little bit healthier. It actually reinforced both of what he said with the caveat. And you aren't going to even guess this, so I won't ask you to guess. Down in the fine print, it says that these studies were done, half the people were drinking caffeinated coffee and half the people were drinking decaf. You realize that caffeine had nothing to do with living longer or being healthier. It was the health, and there are healthy things in coffee. I do not deny that. In fact, I would promote it. That's why I drink organic Swiss water process, because There's polyphenols and things like that. There's antioxidants in coffee. So the first claim he made was complete BS, right? But he's
Right.
making millions of dollars selling coffee, so I get it. And nobody's calling him out. I mean, I can't call him out.
Right.
The second thing he said was adults in the United States get 67% of their antioxidants from coffee. So I dug into this. He was right. Okay. As much as it irritated me, he was absolutely right. Again, there's a caveat. People, adults in the United States eat so little food with antioxidants, blueberries, kale, anything like that, that they are literally, because they drink so much coffee, they
Right.
are literally getting 67% of their antioxidants from their coffee. Now, he didn't happen to mention that. Okay. Shame on him, but that's beside the point. He's making a good living. He seems like a nice guy. You know, it's capitalism at its finest. I'm not gonna, and I didn't bring up his name, and I'm not going to. The point is that we are, as a society, we're programmed and influenced by people that caffeine is good for you, or at least it's not bad for you. And that's where I believe that what I have to offer with the knowledge that I'm presenting throws a little slant, throws a little di predict a little different perspective on your relationship with coffee or caffeine. And all I'm asking is that you reevaluate your relationship with caffeine, whether it's coffee, whether it's tea. You know, I've done a couple podcasts with ladies in England. You know, and they mainline tea, right? Okay. You think coffee's bad? They drink a lot of tea. I mean, all day. They don't stop. And the one girl looked at me and said, and she actually was from Holland. And she but she did her podcast from England, and she said, well, we drink coffee and tea in Holland. And she said, nobody ever talks about any of this. And they drink coffee and tea from birth, or almost from their later adolescent days. I did a podcast with a lady from Colombia. When she was born in Colombia, and in her baby bottle, it was half milk and half coffee. And she's because it's the culture there. She said, now not everybody does that, but in our family, that's what we did. And when I got to be 7 or 8 or 9, I stopped drinking coffee. Then I started again when I was a teenager. Now she doesn't drink coffee, okay? Because she figured out that there were some bad things there. But it's culture. You know, we're dealing with cultural issues here. And so I'm not raining on anybody's parade. You know, we you you oftentimes it's very hard to fight the culture. That's a tsunami thing, just like me. How do you tell your mom and dad that what they've been doing all their lives is one of the worst things they could be doing? Many moms and dads are going to look at you and just say, be quiet. I don't want to hear it. Right? Doesn't matter. That's objective truth that cognitive dissonance sometimes is really important to address.
I agree with you. Now, are there any myths you want to retire about coffee and pregnancy or postpartum, especially for sleep-deprived new parents?
The myth that caffeine's getting you through this is not, that is a myth. It's making it worse. Because once you start relying on caffeine to give you that boost, you know, moms and because you know, dads get up in the middle of the night to feed, maybe to change diapers, whatever, crying babies. This is life. I have two kids. I have 8 grandchildren. I've been through all this. I get it. What happens is that it so messes with your circadian rhythm that your body is so confused and you just don't function properly. Your mind doesn't function, your brain doesn't function, your body doesn't function because we have these spikes in cortisol and dopamine and adrenaline. Sure, you get a little energy, but then you have the crash. And then what do you do? What are you going to do when you crash? the natural reaction is to have more. But at
Right.
some point, you have to sleep. Many people don't drink caffeine right before they go to bed, which is a great idea. But if they're having anything at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night, the half-life is still very powerful when they go to sleep. But if you're a parent and you're doing this and you're doing it at night to try to stay up with your child, now your circadian rhythm gets to the point where there's many documented cases where you are now wide awake first thing in the morning, or you're very tired first thing in the morning. Sorry, I got it mixed up. And you're wide awake when you're supposed to go to sleep. And that's because your circadian rhythm has literally been flip-flopped, because your adrenal gland now is so confused, it doesn't know what to do. And your adenosine receptors are open, they're closed. Most of the time they're closed because the caffeine is closing them. So the suggestion I have for you, and we talk about this in our coaching program, I actually have a whole chapter in the book about what to do, the whole withdrawal. And my suggestion is not to cold turkey. My suggestion is tapering. But what you do is you start to drink less and less. So if you're drinking 6 cups a day, you can still drink 6 cups, but make it so that it's 75% caffeinated, 25% decaf. And do that for 7 days. Do it for 10 days. Do it for 2 weeks. I've done a number of podcasts with addiction specialists, recovered alcoholics, recovered drug addicts, right? There's a common theme is that, and I did this when I was in the restaurant. I was in the restaurant business for 23 years. All my employees smoked and drank. And they would say, I'm going to try to quit smoking tomorrow. So I just want you to beware, because I'm probably going to be crabby. And I would just laugh. I would chuckle at him. I'd say, first of all, if you're going to be a waitress and you're going to be crabby or a bartender, then don't come to work. But second of all, if you're going to try to quit, don't waste your time. All you're going to do is you're going to be miserable, I'm going to be miserable, because you either quit or you don't quit. It's the same with alcohol. It's the same with drugs. It's the same with cigarettes. It's the same with caffeine. I quit smoking 40 years ago. And I quit. I went through a program at the hospital where we went down to, I went down to like 3 cigarettes one day, and then 2 cigarettes one day, and then 1 cigarette, and then I was done. And I haven't had a cigarette since. I still would like a cigarette. And when I walk by somebody that's smoking a cigarette, I will walk through the smoke just to get that dopamine hit. And I get a dopamine hit from it. I'm humble enough to acknowledge the fact that I was addicted to nicotine, to cigarettes, and I was addicted to caffeine. I mean, when I told you that story about that Folgers in your cup thing, I got a little dopamine hit just talking about it. So, and I'm sure some of your listeners did as well. I did it. My daughter's trying to get off of caffeine, and she's a natural health practitioner. And I told her the story, and she said, Dad, you don't have to show me the commercial. What you just talked to me about, I just got a massive dopamine hit. So I feel really good about my dopamine's a wonderful thing in the body. And if it's used and if we can use it and we don't abuse it, it makes us feel good. It's a hormone that makes us feel good. So my advice is wean yourself off. What's going to happen is you are going to have so much more energy when you don't have these crashes. When your body is allowed to work the way it was, our bodies are beautifully and wonderfully made. If you really do, if you look in the mirror, which maybe some of you don't want to, but just do it and look yourself in the eye and say, what did I do today to self-sabotage myself? The answers sometimes are brutal, right? And they're painful. And we all do it. We all self-sabotage. So don't, I'm not picking on anybody here, whether it's caffeine or anything else. We all do things that self-sabotage ourselves. Because caffeine is a self-sabotage technique because we
Definitely.
are hurting our bodies. And long term, like I think I mentioned, I'm in some Facebook groups of quitting caffeine. And there are people in there that are still struggling 6 to 18 months after quitting
Yeah.
because their bodies have not reset. Now, that's not the norm, but it's norm enough that I read them every day and there's a new person on there saying the same thing.
Right.
And so there is people like me that will help you. There's actually a Caffeine Anonymous on the internet. All you got to do is go to your search engine. You can go in there. They'll help you. You know, what do we offer? We offer you support and we offer you tools. The biggest tool that I can tell you right now is, and if you go to our website, releasethecoffeecuffs.com, you can sign up for these and they're all free. And one of the biggest, most important tool is the caffeine consumption tracker. Because what all you have to do is be honest to yourself, because nobody else sees this, just you.
Right.
And so I'll use my daughter as an example. When she went to a seminar in New York City about a month ago, and she was tested because they test, she does energy work and muscle testing. And the guy that she tested with told her right out, your second largest sensitivity is caffeine. So this is on a Sunday. Monday morning, she calls him up. She said, Dad, I'm gonna cut back on my caffeine. I'm gonna go to 75 milligrams a day. I said, hold on. I said, we got to figure out how many you're at.
Right.
And she we originally determined it was 240 milligrams. It turns out that it was probably 300 to 400 milligrams. Okay,
Right.
now this is chronic caffeine use, right? And
Yeah.
her body's messed up. And she has had several episodes. One day she forgot to have her morning coffee at 11:30. She had a splitting headache.
Right.
She had coffee 5 minutes later, 5 to 10 minutes later, headache's gone because the adenosine receptors are plugged. One day later on, as she's in, and she's still in this journey, but she forgot to drink caffeine. It's 10 o'clock at night and she couldn't go to sleep because her headache was so bad.
Right.
So what does she do? She gets up, she has a cup of coffee. 20 minutes later, she goes to sleep because the headache's gone. Now, the adenosine didn't kick in, but she was tired. She works out, she works hard all day.
Yeah.
Beware of what you're doing.
Right.
If you're aware, that's the first crucial step. And you'll find this in any recovery program. If you're aware of what you're doing to yourself, that's the first, and acknowledge it, right?
Yeah.
Then you can deal with it by yourself or with help, either way.
Tell us your products and your services that you provide.
Okay, so on our website, it's called releasethecoffeecuffs.com. That's CUFFS. It's a play on handcuffs. We offer our books for sale there. We have all that free information. All you have to do is put in your email and we'll send it all to you. We'll give you access. We have tools and trackers. There's 10 to 15 different articles on there that talk about all the things that we've talked about and a lot more. Because there's a lot, and one of them is what's the 10 biggest health benefits for men and women to quit caffeine? Okay. I only got to probably a third of those in our conversation today. And then the third one is a chart that I found that has 1,000 beverages in the United States and Canada, and it has their caffeine content. So if you go to Starbucks every day and have a 20 ounce coffee, it will tell you exactly how much caffeine is in there. Why am I telling you this? Because then you can track it. And then what you're going to do is you're going to say, wow, what am I doing to myself? Now, in the program that we offer, we have different programs. One is 4 weeks, one is 8 weeks. They're priced differently. One is way, way more affordable. You do it by yourself, but you get all the modules and you still get the tools and trackers, but you get the guided meditations, you get hypnotherapy, which actually, if you listen to that at night before you go to bed, in 30 days, your subconscious can be reprogrammed to say, I don't want caffeine anymore. But you have to want to do it, right? You have to want to be healthy. You have to want to quit. And that is my challenge, and that is everyone's challenge, because it's so fun to be half stoned, during the day. And ironically, chronic caffeine users don't get stoned anymore, because when they drink caffeine later in the day, all they're doing is reaching a baseline now. They're not getting that. They're not getting the dopamine high. They're not getting the cortisol and the adrenaline rush. All you're doing is getting back to normal, or what your body perceives as normal, right?
Very true. Now, where
So,
can people? Oh, go ahead.
go ahead. Oh,
No.
they can reach me. There's a contact page on our website. And if you email me, I will respond to you with your questions. I'll help you with anything you need help with. And we've talked throughout this conversation about if you know somebody. And I'll leave you with this. Perhaps that someone is you. That's all I can say. A little introspective note at the end of the podcast.
Well, this
I
has
care
been
about you and I care about your health. That's why I'm doing this.
I think what you're doing is great. I think this whole program and all the information you provided today was outstanding. I think people don't realize how bad caffeine actually is for our bodies. And I don't think it's, just like many things, in our food industry, it's not publicized because, people use caffeine for so many different products and so many different foods. And they're making a lot of money in the American food industry with caffeine. So, they don't want to take it off, even though in Europe, half the foods and half the things that we sell in America is banned in Europe.
Right.
So it just gives you an idea of where our principles are. But I think what you're doing is outstanding. I think that you're helping people and you're doing a great job. And if they want to find your book, where can they find your book?
They can actually find it on every major platform, Amazon. It's on Kindle. You have access to both of those on the website as well. It comes right up. It really doesn't matter to me. If it's easier to go to Amazon, go to Amazon. You can buy the paperback or you can buy the Kindle. Over we're in early winter right now, and over the winter I'm actually going to do an audiobook. I'm going to read it. Now that's going to take me a little while. Okay, 400 pages. I'm not going to read all the references probably. I don't think I'm well. Most of them I can't pronounce their names, so I probably won't do that. But I'll do my best in the book. But I think it's important that I read it. That they know that I wrote it and that I read it. I've probably read it 3 to 5 times already, just because of proofreading and then just going back over things. But obviously, as I wrote it, I read it. But it's available anywhere you want. And if you want it at the library, go to the library and tell them you want to get it, because they have access to it. Because I'm in the system. Because I went to a bookstore and he actually found it in the bookstore. He couldn't get it because he wasn't big enough, but library systems can actually buy the book through their distributors. But and so it's about a demand thing. And all we can do is spread the knowledge and hope that we can help one person avoid some negative health impacts and possibly save one of these guys.
100%. Well, this has been amazing, Steve. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You gave a world of window of information today. Very beneficial information that I think, a lot of people really need to understand. And I think you did a great job explaining in detail what caffeine can really do to the body and how it can destroy our bodies. And I really think, what you're doing is outstanding. And I commend you for everything that you're doing and everything you've been through and how you're turning something. Your wife struggled, health-wise, and how you guys changed your whole way of living your lifestyle. And now you're teaching others so they can become healthier and hopefully, prevent or, help their own conditions that they're dealing with as well. So thank you so much, Steve. This has been wonderful, and I
It's been my
appreciate you.
pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too.